Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
30 minutes of nonstop talk brought to you by our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we'll be live October 11th, Friday, October 11th, for our next live show. Mark your calendar. I want to see you there. The Cioli Army will storm the beaches of Cape May and have a great fall show. It's also Columbus Day weekend, so you can make a weekend out of it if you like in Cape May. Cape May is absolutely beautiful this time of year. So I'm really, really excited for that. So join us for that. And that is going to be coming up on Friday, October 11th. Friday, October 11th at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. ABC News breaking the bad news about how Kamala Harris is doing with Hispanic voters. I told you that a majority of Americans support Trump's idea of mass deportations. Well, it's worse for Kamala Harris. The Democrats have lost this constituency with Hispanic voters for a number of reasons. Partially the fact that they've gone so freaking woke, and these are people that have a lot of values, tend to be very religious voters, and they don't like this illegal immigration problem any more than anybody else does. They can't stand it. For these people, they had to go through the process legally. They don't like the fact that the border is wide open. They don't like the crime. They don't like this crisis. And they don't like the fact that the Democrats are supporting this. Trump is doing incredibly well with Latino voters. And that's a problem for Democrats. Think of the coalitions they're losing. They're losing Hispanic voters, black voters, and they're losing union guys and gals, working people, working class people. They're losing these people. That's why the Teamsters, when they didn't endorse her, they showed the poll. It said like over 50% of their members backed Trump. And then the Steamfitters Union was like 70%. It was 60% for the Teamsters and 70% for the Steamfitters. So these guys and gals who are working for a living, they back Trump. And the union bosses forget what they say. It's like, oh, you know, the local Teamsters in PA back Kamala Harris. Oh, I guarantee you the workers are voting for Trump. So this is a real problem for Kamala Harris. And it's ABC News admitting this. Cut number one.
30-plus point advantage for Joe Biden in the exit polls among Latino voters from 4 years ago. Hillary Clinton won Latino voters by 40 points. And, of course, she still lost the presidency. So there's some real ground to make up across demographics, but particularly with Latino voters. Kamala Harris has some issues that she's got to attend to.
Yeah, that's right. Harris tops Trump with Latino voters. However, Biden won the demographic by bigger, and Hillary won it bigger as well. It's a problem, and I'm telling you, the polls are not reflecting how many Hispanic voters in this country actually think Donald Trump is the answer to the crime and the immigration crisis that's happening in our country. Now, when all these polls that come out and the red flag warnings for Kamala Harris are very, very important to note. Here are the red flag warnings. Within these polls, voters are saying they don't think Kamala Harris is going to be good for the economy. They don't trust her. They don't understand it. They don't know it. Philadelphia Inquirer had a piece about this today. And they're saying, like, even after the debate, even after the Oprah sit down, they still don't really understand what her points are on the economy. So she's planning a big rollout. She's planning a big rollout of something. Now, she's already outlined a vision for the economy. It's about price gauging controls. It's about the government regulating prices of goods, which would determine supply and demand in a marketplace and destroy a marketplace. We know that she wants to capitalize unrealized capital gain or tax unrealized capital gains. We know all these things about her. So what else is she going to outline? She wants to give free money to people who want to buy a home, free money to people who want to start a business. Nothing's free. You're paying for that. I'm paying for that. So what is she really going to do? Well, this is what she said, boarding Air Force Two, cut number three. Now, I know it's a little bit hard to hear, but she's going to go on with outline her vision and outline this and grocery prices and blah, blah, blah. I think that the average person thinks to themselves, well, you've been there for 4 years. Why have you not done any of these things? Why are you now coming out with something? And this is why the Wall Street Journal called her out for being an artless dodger, how she's evading questions and not answering anything. And this is what I've been saying throughout the show today. We have to watch all these commercials. If you watch local Philadelphia area television, or you listen, obviously you're listening right now to the radio, I hope, or the Odyssey stream or whatever, you're getting bombarded by Kamala Harris ads. And you're going to keep hearing that because that's their strategy. Avoid questions, avoid the media, avoid sit-down interviews. She couldn't do freaking Oprah. I mean, think about how bad she is. She couldn't do freaking Oprah Winfrey. That's bad. So you got to keep her away. You got to keep her away from the media. And you got to just simply have Kamala Harris go out there and give speeches and just run commercials and just inundate everybody and try to hope that that's how they're going to win. But there's red flags, including within her support of Philadelphia. A relatively high number of voters still feel like they don't know enough about her. And there are even some potential red flags for her campaign as it tries to drive turnout in Philadelphia over the next 6 weeks before the election. Philadelphia voters appear to be much more enthusiastic about Harris than they were about Biden in May. But at that time, Biden was struggling in Pennsylvania, even with his base. 54% of likely Philadelphia voters said they would vote for him. Today, 79% of likely voters in the city said they plan to cast their ballots for Harris, which sounds like an improvement of 20 percentage points in Philadelphia. You go, oh, that's really good news. You go, wow, that's great. She's making up ground in Philadelphia. But here's the problem. The problem is that the number of respondents who said they have a favorable view of Kamala Harris from Philadelphia is 11 percentage points higher than it was 4 years ago. But nearly a third of likely voters said this month that Harris can be described as extreme, meaning there are some voters who think that and intend to vote for her anyway, say like 35% said they got to learn more about her. But then they also say they think she's extreme, but they're going to vote for her. But the turnout red flags are what really becomes the issue. Turnout has sagged in the city in recent years compared with the rest of the state, especially in lower income neighborhoods. And there are indications that enthusiasm to vote is lowest in those areas this year. Nearly 80% of respondents from the wealthier neighborhoods in Center City and University City said they are almost certain they will vote, with 60% from North Philly and 64% from West Philly saying they are going to vote. But younger Philadelphians are less enthusiastic about voting. That's a big deal. And there's an age-related enthusiasm gap that is a big deal. The other problem for Kamala Harris, too, is that they, within the city of Philadelphia, they may be locked in on Kamala Harris. You get outside the city of Philadelphia, and it becomes a much different story. That's where voters in the collar counties begin to say, we don't know if we can trust her, and she seems extreme. These are the people that don't like Trump, but they're very worried about Kamala Harris being extreme on the economy. So I don't know how she wins these people over. She didn't do it at the debate. She didn't do it on Oprah. So this big magical economic speech is going to be the big panacea that's going to win over all these people. Look, no matter what BS you hear, whatever BS spin you hear from people, you can't get away from the fact that you go grocery shopping. I do. I just did it. I was in the grocery store this weekend. I went to Wegmans and I bought all kinds of different things. And again, I'm shocked by the prices. And I have to make choices about what we can buy and what we can't. And we're very blessed. We're fortunate, my family. But I still have to make choices because we have three kids and I want to be able to retire someday and pay for their college, whatever else. I got to make choices here. And that's a problem for everybody. You want to go back to those farmers that I mentioned? If you walk by the butcher counter and you say, I can't buy ribeyes. I can't buy these things. These things are too expensive. Well, the cattle farmers are hurting, too. And the people that supply the grain to the cattle farmers, they're hurting. All of these people are hurting down. It's trickle-down pain is really what it is. Trickle-down economic pain. J.D. Vance summed it up very well. He visited a grocery store in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And this is what he said regarding the price of eggs. Cut number four.
Eggs. eggs when Kamala Harris took office were short of $1.50 a dozen. Now a dozen eggs will cost you around $4 thanks to Kamala Harris's inflationary policies. Pennsylvania actually has seen some of the worst grocery price increases of the entire nation. And again, it's because she cast the deciding vote on the Inflation Explosion Act. I think we want Pennsylvanians to be able to afford groceries. We want our young families to be able to buy food at a reasonable price at the grocery store. And the only way to do that is to get back to common sense economic policies and fire Kamala Harris. This is a person who's presided over a $1,000 increase in monthly expenses. Just to afford the same life you could have afforded 3.5 years ago, it costs you over $1,000 a month here in Pennsylvania. We can do so much better. We certainly will. And as the father of a couple of kids who eat a whole lot, we certainly need to do better for the next generation. God bless you guys.
By the way, when I say price gauging, it's to mock Kamala Harris, who came out and said price gauging. That was her big speech. You remember that, right? She said that. Matt, do you have that clip of Kamala Harris calling it price gauging? Can you find it for us?
Yeah, I can find it.
All right. Thank you. That's why I say it. I know it's price gouging. I know that. But because I'm reading the YouTube chat right now. By the way, you can stream along on YouTube if you like, or you can tweet along the show as well. But she said price gauging because my point is she's not bright. She's not smart. She can read a teleprompter, but she did that badly. So think about this now in terms of the prices you pay and all the other things that you're doing. So we're supposed to believe now that this big economic speech is what's going to turn around for Kamala Harris. I am telling you at this moment right now, undecided voters, whatever is left of them, it's just simply about can they hold their nose and vote for Trump. I think at the end of the day, they do. The enthusiasm for Trump among the people that voted for him in 2016 is back. This election is very much like 2016, in my opinion. Where he is in Western PA right now, those farmers, the people that work in the energy sector. Let me play this clip for you. This is from the event today with Trump, and this is really good. But first, let me share this with you. Brand new New York Times Siena College poll. Do you think Donald Trump's policies have helped people like you, hurt people like you, or haven't made much of a difference? 45% say helped. 34% say hurt. 19% say no difference. Do you think Kamala Harris's policies would help people like you, hurt people like you, or haven't made much of a difference? 37% say they think her policies will help. 42% say her policies will hurt. 18% say they make no difference. Arizona now, Trump is up 5. Georgia, Trump 4. North Carolina, Trump up 3. This is the New York Times Siena College poll of 3 swing states. New York Times Siena College poll. So there you go. This is what Kamala Harris said about price gauging.
And I will work to pass the first ever federal ban on price gauging on food.
See? That's why I say price gauging. It's the mocker. That's why. Here's a Pennsylvania energy worker telling President Trump. This is at this. He goes to this event in Western PA. He's talking to farmers. He's hearing their concerns. He's going out there and saying, we got to make sure that China doesn't buy up all the farmland and that China doesn't stock our shelves with all the groceries, because that's what they're doing. They're also buying a lot of meat processing plants in this country. They're buying a lot of big agri now owned by China. One of the big pork companies is bought mostly Chinese control now. They say, well, the Americans run it, but it's owned by China. So just keep that in mind. So this PA energy worker talking to Trump about this today, the pro-energy policy that they need. Take a listen.
I'm going to be a little bit different on my story here because my wife and I are both energy workers. So with the energy transition in Pennsylvania, our focus and our ability to have take our financial resources and put those back into the farm has been tremendous. Without that energy job, we wouldn't have been able to better our farm and better our situation. Without my industry and my work family, the opportunities afforded to me, especially like this today, wouldn't be possible. And as you sit here today, you're sitting on top of the Marcellus and the Utica shales. Right. Some the most prolific shale plays in the world are underneath your feet. My family depends on my salary and my wife's salary. Those salaries are dependent on pro-American, pro-energy policy. With This pro-energy policy would allow operators to develop abundant clean natural gas from below our feet. Appalachia produces roughly 30 billion cubic feet of gas per day. We could double the amount if we were just given the opportunity.
Let's stop it right there for a second.
Common sense policies that allow for infrastructure.
So this is another point I made today in Dana Perino's podcast, which will be dropping sometime this afternoon. Fracking worker, people that work in fracking have to think about it from this perspective, right? Even if Kamala Harris has had this big, you know, flip flop and she's no longer going to ban fracking. Let's assume that for a second. I don't believe it, but let's assume it, right? Fetterman says it, everything else. But there's more to it than just that. It's not just about banning it. It's about investing in it. Are you going to invest in it? Are you going to put the money there? Are you going to create the jobs? Are you going to put a liquid natural gas export facility through Pennsylvania? Are you going to lift the ban on liquid natural gas exports? I mean, the fact that she has not done that yet, the fact that she has not come out and said Biden needs to lift this, that she has not come out against her own administration on that issue, shows you how freaking stupid that is. I mean, that's a layup right there. That's a layup. She comes out and says, I disagree with President Biden. We should remove this ban on liquid natural gas immediately. Immediately. She hasn't done it. Yeah, because she's too worried about the environmental whack jobs. That's why. But think about it. If you're in the fracking industry, you got to think, okay, maybe best case scenario, things stay status quo. But worst case scenario, things get shut down or there's a moratorium or whatever. Or they begin to crack down or whatever it is. But there's a whole other problem, too, which is if you're not investing in this industry, then you are falling behind. Let's keep going.
To be built here. Pipelines. We need more pipelines. Doubling our output would be the equivalent of putting 10 million barrels of energy on the market for the world stage.
Yeah.
Providing opportunities for families to remain farming. Because guess what? We pay those royalties. We pay billions of royalties a year to landowners, just like everybody that's around here at this table.
Right.
And you know, due to the ups and downs, I want to tell you a little bit of a personal story of mine. Due to the ups and downs of the commodity-based business, 4 years ago, I was faced with an ultimatum. And that ultimatum was, do I chase my corporate job or do I stay here and work on the family farm? My wife and I, we made the decision not to move to Texas. We made the decision that it was family first, that it was legacy over money. So our conscious decision to raise our two beautiful daughters as fourth generation on our farm is the best decision we made in our relatively young lives. There has been no greater honor than to represent my family, my industry, and the pivotal role we play together. The intersection between agriculture and industry, it's a tight-knit one. We need the farmers just like they want us to provide the energy. And responsible natural gas development should not be a partisan issue. It's a common sense issue. So I want to thank you again for allowing me to speak with you today. It's been an honor, and I really appreciate it.
MAGA man on Twitter says, Rich, the fracking comments from her are a trick. She may not ban fracking, but the regulations she imposes will make it virtually impossible to get the job done. I agree. Look, Kamala Harris's EPA will essentially find a way to ban fracking, whether she as president does it or not. They'll do it through regulations. You know this and I know that. They'll make it so expensive, so cost prohibitive that it basically won't happen. Honestly, it just won't. It will eventually be over. That industry will be over. And that's a problem. Here's another clip of a Pennsylvania farmer telling the former president and future president how awful things have been regarding fuel prices. We don't talk about this enough because, you know, I know gas prices fluctuate, but they're much higher now than they were in 2020. But diesel and what these farmers and these other people have to pay. And look, you're paying that get caught, that all these things get passed along in the inflation pipeline here. Here's what this farmer said. Take a listen.
I have some expenses regarding fuel. OK, and I had the opportunity to call up my my fuel provider last Thursday when I found out I was going to be here. And I'll just give you a couple of numbers. Use a fair amount of off-road diesel. Off-road diesels come down in price, surprisingly, in the election year. Yeah. Right now, 2024, I can buy off-road diesel for $2.95 a gallon. Okay. In 2020, $1.86. Regular diesel, you know, I use for my truck. It has a road tax and stuff on it. It's around $4.50 a gallon now. Back in 2020, it was around $2.80. Bone ethanol gasoline. You know, ethanol gasoline, as much as we want to have ethanol, it's not good for small equipment, chainsaws and all the small equipment. It eats up the carburetors. It's really not a good thing to have in small equipment. And so I use bone ethanol gas. Right now, it's $4 a gallon. 2020, it was around $3.15. So it's gone up. Propane I use to heat with, it stayed about the same. It was $1.97 a gallon in 2024. In 2020, it's $1.65. But, you know, the other thing, I lime my fields, you know, because the pH, you know, is low. You got to have a certain pH to grow good grass, just like the golf course. You understand that part. Anyways, just recently I had an arrangement to have some delivered and spread. It was $45 or $50 a ton. They call me up. Well, there's been a price increase. It's $70 a ton now. Just out of the clear blue, it increased my expense. Fertilizer was $600 a ton. I'm paying $1,000 a ton for fertilizer. I mean, it's just costs are out of control.
So remember how I told you that Kamala Harris did not win the debate? And I said to you, because I don't look at these things the way other people do in terms of winner or loser. It's much more nuanced than that for me personally as a debate coach. So I look at it differently. And I said to you, you know, if this was a college debate, she probably would have won. But debates are about persuasion, not just how you come across. And persuasion is the issue. Literally, a debate is meant for persuading people to one side or the other. I mean, you think about a trial in court is ultimately a debate between the prosecution and the defense. The Lincoln-Douglas debates, you know, the classic idea of a debate is you have to sway people. If you don't sway them, you haven't won. It's just that simple. And so you can debate and sound great, and you can really leave people leaving with a feeling of like a sugar rush, kind of like the DNC in the same way, too. But if you remember what I said to you that is going to fade very quickly. And that we will look back on this and realize Kamala Harris lost that debate. You know, unlike other people, I didn't come on the air the day after the debate and go, oh, Kamala Harris won this. I was listening to some bald guy on POTUS on Sirius XM because I was just kind of curious what he was going to say. And he and his guests were going on and on about how wonderful Kamala Harris did. I don't know his name. It's Mercon something or other. I don't know. Anyway, I put my AirPods in. I'm listening to this as I'm walking through Wegmans because I was dying to hear it, like the glee and the ecstasy, like how excited, you know, about how bad Trump was and how great Kamala Harris was, and you know all the callers and everything like this. And I'm listening to this, and I don't want to name the host because I don't want to promote another show. It rhymes with Merconish, but I'm listening to this show, and I'm putting all these groceries in my cart, and I'm thinking, what? What debate did these people listen to last night? Because I did not hear Kamala Harris win. I heard Kamala Harris sound like a very scripted candidate. I didn't hear her win because the question is, if I don't like that guy, but I know that guy's good for my family and the economy and our national security, but I don't like him, convince me to vote for you. And she didn't do that. Well, now the data is in and it confirms exactly what I said to you. She did not win that debate. It didn't. She didn't. Bottom line. Now, look, you could love Trump's debate performance or hate it. It's irrelevant. I told you that because she had to win, not him. He goes into that debate that night as a guy who Americans trust on the economy. She had to find a way to kill him on that. And I said to you the Monday before the debate, this is why listening to this show matters, because your time is valuable and precious, and I don't want to waste it. And I work very hard. We work very hard. Matt works very hard. And just we all work very hard on this program to give you a good show. But the point I'm making is that we try to go deeper than just simply the headlines and everything else. And my years of being in politics, being a debate coach and everything else, and seeing this and thinking like her job was to go in there and persuade people to trust her in the economy. But the problem, and I said this the day before the debate, was there is no kill shot she can take on Trump. There is no kill shot she can take because there's no way to knock him down on the economy. And so she had to give pablum. Well, now the results are in. Likely, this is the New York Times Siena College poll. Far right wing New York Times. All right. So take it with a grain of salt. Far right wing, conspiracy laden New York Times. Basically Breitbart. Basically Alex Jones. Likely Arizona voters pre-debate. Harris plus five. Likely Arizona voters post-debate. Trump plus five. Likely Georgia voters pre-debate. Trump plus four. Likely Georgia voters post-debate. Trump plus four. Actually, I think it was Trump plus two. And then Trump plus four. He gained in Georgia too. Likely North Carolina voters pre-debate. Harris plus two. Likely North Carolina voters post-debate. Trump plus three. And a very comprehensive poll, over 2,000 voters polled, New York Times, Siena College interviewers placed 250,000 calls to more than 116,000 voters, making sure they reach the right amount of voters in each party, race, and religion post-debate. So you see, they're eating the dogs, they're eating the cats, didn't have an effect, a negative effect on Trump. Not in, and I told you it wouldn't, because whether or not it was his best debate performance or not was not the point. She had to go in there and kill him, and she didn't have the ability to do so. She still doesn't, by the way. She still doesn't. So that's her problem. And I don't care what economic speech she rolls out. It doesn't matter. Because deep down inside, if you hate Trump, if you sat there during that debate, and I know people, I know exactly what I mean here by this. People that watched that debate and said, oh, my God, he's talking about eating dogs and cats. I can't believe it. Oh, my, I can't stand this guy. I can't stand him. He's the worst. But they're going to vote for him. They're going to vote for him because of the economy. Trust me on this point. She did not and cannot kill him on that. And there's nothing she can say. Meanwhile, she has said all these nutty things in the past about the economy, and her positions now are nutty, like taxing unrealized capital gains and price gouging, making a joke about her, price gouging laws. They're all nutty, and people know that that's nuts. And then giving free money to first-time homebuyers and giving free money to people who start a business. And nothing's free. We know it's not free. It's nuts, and people know it's nuts. So enough. Enough. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli if you want to weigh in. It's the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. My son Patrick saw him today, as a matter of fact. I told you he's a Zeoli family dentist. We are streaming the show live on YouTube, but I want to thank the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, for sponsoring this happy hour, and remind you that we'll be there on October 11th, this coming Friday, October 11th, from 3 to 7 p.m. live at the Grand Hotel. CNN's Jim Acosta forced to report that Kamala has dropped 11% among Latino voters in Arizona in the last month. This is an audio clip we have from you. But I thought he was in journalist internment camp, Matt DeSantis. How is Jim Acosta able to do a clip if he's in journalist internment camp after Trump destroyed the First Amendment and locked up all these journalists?
Maybe he's, he got pardoned. I don't know. He seems to be doing pretty well.
Yeah, it seems like it's amazing because I thought Trump was going to kill him. I thought he was going to murder all the journalists that were on Pebble Beach at the White House. And there's Jim
Acosta.
Instead,
he got his own show.
Got a show, wrote a book about how awful his life is, making all kinds of money. I'm telling you, man, Trump was terrible for this guy. Well, these guys are forced to admit the following. Take a listen.
One of the things that we should note, and I don't know if we can show this number, I want to put this up on screen. Latino voters have moved away from Harris in Arizona. If you believe this New York Times poll, her lead has shrunk by 11 points in that voting block. She was at 60% in August, now 49% now.
That's bad. We're watching the implosion of the Democrat Party right in front of our very eyes. It's not good. It's not good. Dan is in Havertown. Dan, what's up?
Hi, Rich. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Dan. How are you?
That's good. Yes, I'm listening to the show. This is all good news. So I feel happy.
Good.
Anyway.
My goal is to make you happy, Dan.
That's great. I would hug you. If I could hug you through the phone, I would do it.
I'm not doing a bro hug with you, Dan. No way. Bro hugs are like this. Like you reach out, but you don't really connect.
Right.
I would do that, like one of those, you know, Fugazi bro hugs. But all right, what do you want to say?
Fair enough. A handshake. Anyway, no, thank you for letting me use your pizza when you're on, or your pizza oven in the backyard when you're on vacation. I followed you home one night and found out where you lived, and I scaled the fence.
Yeah.
And I cooked three or four pineapple pizzas on your brick oven.
I know, so, and I saw that on our camera. We've turned it into the police, and there's going to be some consequences. I wouldn't mind if you used the pizza oven, but the pineapple is why we will be calling the authorities.
I know. I'm telling you, try it once.
No.
It's not rat poison.
No.
It's not going to kill you.
You try.
I promise.
Don't tell me what to do. This is my show. Don't you call up and tell me what to do.
All right, I suggest just or recommend or
did you see the interview I did with Vinny, the owner of Angelo's Pizza in South Philly? Did you see that?
I did. I heard it.
Yeah.
I didn't see
Vinny
it.
Vinny was great. Vinny said, try it. I said, but do you serve pineapple on Angelo's Pizza? He said, no. So that's all you need to know. Mm. All right, Dan?
Okay. All right, Rich.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, buddy.
Buddy.
Appreciate it. And by the way, when people go to homes with pineapples and they're upside down, that's a whole other meaning, and I don't want to get into that, and I didn't want to ask Dan about that, because that was a little creepy. Followed me home one night. It's pretty funny, actually. All right, you scaled the fence, but did you scale the moat of alligators? I'm just, you know, got a lot of security at the Zioli house. Also, automatic weapons that fire if anyone trespasses onto the property. I shoot first and ask questions later. That's what I do. That's the way I work, you know what I mean? Somebody breaks into my house, I'm shooting them. Is that what Kamala Harris said, Matt? Was it that?
That is exactly what she said, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody breaks into my house, I'm shooting him. Somebody walks on my lawn, I'm shooting him, all right? I actually shot my landscaper last week. Poor guy, son of a gun. I just didn't realize, you know what I mean? It's made a mistake, so, you know, try it. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zioli. We got more to come. We're just getting started here, cooking with gasoline as we continue. Streaming live on YouTube, don't go away.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour. It's the only show brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, a premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
I am told right now, I'm looking at the YouTube comments, Chris Donahue says, breaking, Trump is going back to Butler, PA on October 5th. Guy's got brass cojones. That's great news. I have not seen that. So, Chris, thank you for sharing that with us. That's a big deal. That's great. I also want to mention, I mean, yeah, go back to Butler. Why not? Absolutely. Show everybody you're not afraid. And I think it's a great move by Trump. But, yeah, look, he's doing a big rally tonight in southwestern PA. He's going to be out there again. He's not afraid. So I got an email from my buddy Jimmy, my old neighbor, Jimmy Skaines. He's a good guy. He's a great guy, actually. We used to, when I had, during COVID, you know, we had this white trash blow-up pool. And this thing was like 4 feet high, and we'd take the kids in it and everything like that. You know what I mean? But I'd be out there with my pizza oven. Jimmy would barbecue, and his food, man, would smell so good. It would reach all across the yard. And then he would give me ribs, and I'd give him pizza, and Patrick loved his ribs. Anyway, he said, Rich, he sent me a note. He said, Rich, this is your old neighbor, Jimmy. I'm telling you now, I've been a union guy for over 30 years, and the union people are voting for Donald Trump. The woke liberal companies they woke for and the union leaders are supporting Kamala. It's a fugazi. The union workers are voting for Trump. I couldn't agree more. I think that's exactly right. I think that that is something that you will see in particularly places like Michigan. Michigan's a great example of that, too. The EV workers. I don't care what that communist Sean Fain comes out and what his union endorses. It doesn't matter. The workers are with Trump. That's very, very obvious. Very, very obvious. So I think it's good. Wait, now Lee Pavorsky said new dude is killing the music. Is that a good thing or bad thing? Killing it or killing? Like, as in he doesn't like it.
I'm just gonna go on the assumption that they really like the music that I'm picking.
They like the idea. All right, so here's what we're gonna do. Starting tomorrow, you can make requests to hear music on the YouTube chat. All right. So if you watch the show on the YouTube channel, the stream on the 1210 WPHT YouTube page, you can make music requests and then we will consider them. Right. We'll consider taking them and playing them. All right. We'll do that tomorrow.
And like we said, I'm open to any suggestions, whether it's country, even though I saw a couple of people in the chat were very vocal about being anti-country.
That surprised me.
I know. I figured they'd be more country inclined, but
yeah.
Hard metal, metal, rock, 70s, 60s, 80s, 90s, whatever you got, I'm open to literally anything.
We just know there's two things we can't do, Bruce Springsteen and John Bon Jovi, or James Taylor. So three.
Yeah.
Three bands, otherwise we're good. That's it. It's not too bad, actually, to have three bands. So, yeah, no, good. Justin's doing great. You see, Henry, when he was here, was a dictator, a tyrant, and he didn't care. He didn't care what I requested. He didn't care what anybody requested. Matt, am I right about that? Guy was a monster.
No, he was horrible. I would ask him to play music, and he would say, no, I get to choose.
Yeah.
And then I never got one song.
And stupid stuff, too, that made no sense. Stupid stuff that made no sense at all. And I didn't understand it. And he would do that, and I'd be like, come on, what are you doing here? You know what I mean? So, but Justin is not like that. That's good.
I just don't get being a dictator when it comes to music. You know, like you got to give the show, you got to include the people in it. You know, it gives the show its personality. You know, being able to pick all these different songs from different people instead of just having one main character pick the same few songs.
Right? I agree. You see, well done. I agree 100%. Wait, we got a birthday. Bruce's birthday. Bruce, happy birthday, Bruce. There you go. All right. Very nice. Happy birthday to you. That's good stuff. All right, I got a ton of stuff here. Dave McCormick today at that event with Trump. He talked about China and the risk that China poses to our country right now. Look, I said this today on Dana Perino's podcast as well. And it's this. You have to realize right now that McCormick and Trump are related. I think people vote for Trump, they vote for McCormick, and that's how it goes. John Fetterman came out and said recently now that he believes that there is a lot more Trump support that's out there than you believe. There's also an article from the Daily Wire. Democrat senators fear Trump support is undercounted in the polls. Multiple Democratic senators expressed concern that former President Donald Trump has more support from the American people than polling suggests. After Trump performed better than the polling projections in both 2016 and 2020, Democrats told The Hill in an article published Monday, the 2024 election will be close no matter what the polls are currently showing. And the point, a point that they make here is that Trump trails Vice President Kamala Harris by 2.2 points nationally as of today, according to the Real Clear Politics average. The margin between Harris and Trump is closer than Biden's lead over Trump at this point in 2020, which was 7 points, and Hillary Clinton's lead at this point in 2016, which was 3 points. Very similar to what my caller said earlier in the show. He was looking at that on this day, the Real Clear Politics average in 2020 and 2016. That's ominous, said one Democratic anonymous senator while discussing how Trump is performing better in the polls against Harris. There's no question that is concerning, but you're working as hard as you can work no matter what. My sense, there's not a lot more you can do that we're already doing. The lawmaker adds that he thinks the undercounting of Trump's support may be due to people feeling embarrassed. He said, most of what he preaches, most of us have taught our children to try to not be that way on the playground. So there's a certain amount of reluctance to admit I'm going to vote for somebody whose conduct I tell my children is wrong. Senator John Fetterman warned against putting any stock in the polls, arguing, quote, polling has been seriously damaged since 2016. And that's one of the truths, is that Trump is going to be tough in Pennsylvania. And that's absolutely the truth. 100%. No doubt about that. Another Democrat speaking on the condition of anonymity to The Hill said, I don't think any poll right now means much of anything. The lawmaker added that many people are delusionally viewing the Trump administration's economic policies as successful. But that's the point. They view them as successful. You could say it's delusional, Democratic anonymous senator, too cowardly to give your name. But the people don't, because they know. The economy was better under Trump, period. That's what it is. And you know Kamala knows she didn't close the deal. That's why she wants another debate. She knows she didn't seal the deal that night. She sees these numbers too. She did not win the debate. Let me say it again. She did not win the debate. Cut number five. Kamala Harris wants to have another debate. Cut five. Got five, Matt?
Well, you probably heard I would like another debate, so I'm hoping the former vice president will agree to that. But we have a lot more to discuss.
Yeah, he doesn't need to. You need to. He doesn't need to. I have no problem with him doing it because I think he would crush her. I really do. One of the points I made today, again, as I was discussing Pennsylvania, is this. The Republican operation to get the vote out, and this is critical, is to get mail-in ballots in hands before Election Day so that they can target the people who haven't voted. Oh, yeah, yeah. I noticed. Yeah, right. I glossed over that. You're right. One more time, Matt. Play that one more time.
Heard, I would like another debate, so I'm hoping the former vice president will agree to that. But we have a lot more to discuss.
Who does she think she's running against? The former vice president. Who does she think she's running against? I'm just curious. The former vice president? Man, this woman's dumb. I'm sorry, but she's dumb. What did you think, Matt? What did you think about Tapper's answer to Governor, Governor Whitmer's answer to Jake Tapper on State of the Union about will Kamala ever do interviews or press conferences again?
It's basically what you would expect a surrogate for the campaign to say, although it's obviously delusional and inaccurate.
Yeah, and there's no chance Kamala Harris is going to sit down and actually do an interview. There's no way. Cut seven.
Left until this is all over. We've heard other Democrats in your position suggesting that they want to see more from Vice President Harris and Governor Walz in terms of not necessarily speeches in controlled environments, but town halls with voters, more interviews, mixing it up, press conferences. We're only 44 days to the election. Do you agree? Would you like to see more of that?
You know, I have incredible confidence in both the vice president and Governor Walz. They have shown that they are happy warriors. They are able to answer tough questions, and they are eager to get back into the debate.
They're eager? Well, then do it. Do it. I'm just trying to. What are you waiting for? Now, the first second gentleman, Doug Emhoff, the BMOTUS, beta male of the United States of America. That's my acronym for him. There's POTUS. President of the United States, VPOTUS, Vice President. There's FLOTUS, which is First Lady of the United States. Doug Emhoff is BMOTUS, beta male of the United States. And he's coming, and I like that. And that's catchy. All right? Now, this is what Doug Emhoff said, the BMOTUS, beta male of the United States of America, trying to defend his wife, the Vice President Kamala Harris. It's not fair to criticize her. Oh, come on. For this administration's policies. Cut eight.
For those who may criticize and say, well, she hasn't done that in her 3.5 years in office as vice president, do you think that's unfair?
Yeah, she's the vice president, not the president. So, you know, the vice president is there as part of the administration, not leading the administration. So as president, she's going to be able to put forth her policies and plans and effectuate those.
God, he sounds like such a beta male, doesn't he? Like, I hear him and I think to myself, you got so many wedgies when you were a kid. Like, you did. You got so many wedgies and, oh, that dude, man. I don't know. There's something about it. That guy that just rubs me the wrong way. Beta male. BMOTUS. What? You like that?
That's I like the name. It's pretty solid.
He is the beta male of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, BMOTUS.
By the way.
Yeah.
Did you happen to watch Cut 6? Just watch what's going on in the background of Cut 6?
I did. But
did you see Doug dancing?
Yeah, so she's dancing. The beta male's dancing. There's all these protesters there, and they're chanting, stop the deportations. And they're... And Jussie Smollett was there. I didn't realize that. Juicy's there. Doug Emhoff's beta male dancing in the background, like doing the white man overbite, like really bad dancing in the background, like as bad as I'm doing right now on the YouTube stream, which you can see if you're streaming. And Kamala Harris is there. And then they just start going along with this chant. So here, let's play it for you. A newly resurfaced 2018 video obtained by the Daily Mail shows Kamala Harris and the beta male of the United States, Doug Emhoff, chanting alongside protesters and Juicy Smollett, cut six.
Down with deportation, up with education, down with deportation, up with education, down with deportation,
I'm dancing.
Up with education,
doing the Emhoff. I'm doing the beta male. That's a new dance move. The beta male. The Emhoff. Sweeping the nation. It's dance craze sweeping the nation right there. Beta male of the United States of America. Doug Emhoff. Down, down with deportation. Down. And there's Kamala, you know, chanting along and saying the words, by the way. You see, now when we get the YouTube stream hooked up properly, we'll be able to play these clips very soon, by the way. And you'll be able to watch it, too. And then you could dance at home along. The Zioli Show home game is going to be up a level. We're taking it up a whole other level. You know what I mean? Whole nother level.
What a selling point. You can dance alongside Rich Zioli and Doug Emhoff if you just tune into our YouTube stream.
Yeah, but I'm as alpha male as you get, and that dude's as beta male as you get. So that's the difference right there. Ed's got some rhymes for us. All right, Ed and Del Ran, you got rhymes for me? Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. When Rich Zioli gives Kamala Harris bad news, I don't have to drink too much booze, and I will even snooze tonight very well, because you're swell. So now I got a couple points for you on some of the stuff you've been talking about.
All
now,
right.
Point number one, my friend, I love Tiptoe Tim when he said, hey, can we afford four more years of these guys?
Yeah.
I think he's referring Biden and Kamala Harris. That's number one. And number two, you talked about who's Kamala running against. She's running against herself because her positions change constantly. She's like the freaking chameleon.
Yeah, no, you're right, man. She is. She, whatever she was for, she's now against. Whatever she was against, she's now for. That's how you know it.
Oh, and she's a plagiarizer because she keeps trying to steal Trump's ideas. No taxes on tips. Oh, my God. It's unfreaking believable.
I know. I agree.
It's like a freak show. I swear I'm watching a Seinfeld episode.
No, you're watching a bad real-life episode of Veep. That's what you're watching, Ed. Thanks, buddy.
You got it, man.
I appreciate it. Appreciate your rhymes. Appreciate it. No more rhyming. Now I mean it. Anybody got a peanut? All right, listen, we got a big fourth and final hour coming up. I got a ton of audio I got to get to. Trump is going to do a rally. I don't know exactly the time it starts, but we'll take some of it live for you if it happens. And Trump says he will not run in 2028 if he loses in November. I don't think he's going to lose. I predict he's going to win Pennsylvania and predict the White House as well. And Senator Ron Johnson makes a great point about the Secret Service and their lack of transparency. And it's something that should concern all of us. I still believe we cannot rule out that there is a plot to kill Donald Trump. I mean that. I'm sincere about that. I'm very worried about that. It's not a conspiracy theory at this point. There's far too many questions we have to consider. So let's talk about that. Thank you for streaming on YouTube. We'll be back tomorrow to do it again live. We're going to do it every day live from 3 to 6 and going forward. But keep the conversation going on Twitter at Rich Zioli. I'll start paying attention to those comments now. And thank you. We'll be right back for our fourth and final hour.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.